Psalm 31. This psalm, written when most think that it was written when he is fleeing from his own son, Absalom. And if you read the whole psalm, you'd see the pathos, you'd see the danger, you'd see the perplexity and the frustration in David's life. And in the middle of it, in verse 15, he declares, "My times are in thy hands. My times are in thy hand. Deliver me from the hand of mine enemies and from them that persecute me." Now let's pray. I don't have an outline tonight. And you need to pray. I seldom ever launch out like that. And tonight when my mind, the lights are on, but nobody's home, you know. Somebody said that recently, and I'm a little weary tonight, and you pray now, our Lord will just bless us and help us. Here's a text we need to get hold of. Our Father, in Jesus' name, I pray that this text and this song submission might grip our hearts and our lives. I pray for every one of us. Lord, I yield my mind, my will, my heart to thee tonight, asking you that you'd help me to say everything that I ought to say and blot out from my mind that which is not necessary for the message tonight. Encourage our hearts and help us, our Father, to trust thy sovereign will and thy plan for our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. My times are in thy hands. If you had life and you had all the choices you could have, whatever you wanted, would you take your life in your hands, make all the decisions? You think that'd be wise? You don't know the end from the beginning. You don't know this afternoon, tonight. And not knowing, then it's better to have our times in somebody's hands that knows the end from the beginning, knows what's best for us, and oftentimes what's best for us, we think, is that which ruins us. And David, when persecuted, said, "Now my times are in thine hand," and he didn't want to fall into the hands of his enemies. David had a great concept of the heart and the mind of God. When David sinned, God said, "I want you to ask three things. Shall you pursue so many days before your enemies? Or shall I bring pestilence on the land, or shall you commit yourselves to my hand?" Look at what David said. Let me just read it to you tonight. And David made this statement: "Let us now fall into the hand of the Lord, for his mercies are great, and let me not fall into the hand of the man." He said, "I don't want to be in man's hands. And Lord, just let me fall into your hands." So he committed himself to the Lord, and the Lord chastened him. But David recognized that God was a God of mercy and love, and he would rather be in God's hands than his own hands and take matters into his life. You and I tonight are what we are because of the hand of God. If some of us may have had a way. You say, "Now, if I had my way, my eyes would be another color, and I'd be taller or shorter, and I'd have different color hair." Of course, that can be adjusted. That's obvious. Or we'd say, "I would be brought in, I would be in another family." No, you wouldn't be who you are tonight if you were not born into the particular family with their genealogy. It's impossible for you to be born in any other family, in any other way, and be who you are tonight. You say, "Wish I had another pair of parents." Well, it wouldn't be you. It'd be somebody else. And the only way for you to be who you are is that God had his hand in your heart and life. Now, the hand of God. We want to manipulate our lives, and we're so afraid that if we don't take matters in our hands and if we really let God have his way and really submit to his hand, we'll be the loser. Turn in your Bibles to the book of Genesis And here's a man. You know, God said, get out from the land that from the Ur of the Chaldees and go into a land that I will show thee. Well, he took a nephew along. His name was Lot. He got into the land. God hadn't called Lot. Lot went along, and Lot had cattle, and Abraham had cattle, and their land prospered. Their herds prospered, and they began to have problems among the herdmen. And in the 13th chapter, now God's given his land to Abraham. Verse 8, Abram said unto Lot, let there be no strife, I pray thee, between me and thee, and between my herdmen and thy herdmen, for we be brethren. Is not the whole land before thee? Separate thyself, I pray thee, from me. If thou wilt take the left hand, then I will go to the right. Or if thou depart to the right hand, then I will go to the left. Now, Abraham wasn't a very good businessman. He's a man of faith. You see, a businessman, he'd get his before anybody got theirs. And he'd make the right choice. But Abraham said, you take the right, I'll take the left. We want a choice. We'd say, hey, we better hurry up and make our choice. And Abraham, the devil said, hey, you're going to let Lot choose? Well, he'll choose the best. You'll be left with the leftovers. And Abraham stepped aside, and Abraham allowed God to choose for him. And we're afraid to let God choose for us. If he chooses for us, he'll mess up our lives, and therefore, we have to choose for ourselves, and we better look out for ourselves, or we'll come up with the wrong end of the stick. That's the philosophy of the devil that he gave to Adam, and we're born with. And we get into more trouble because of the fact we don't let God choose for us, and we don't wait on God, and we run ahead of God, and we make choices, and we wish we never had. I never will forget years ago, there was a bus for sale in Lakeland, and Dr. Jack Hudson, Charlotte, was looking for a bus. And I told him about the bus, and he was here in a meeting, I believe. And I said, well, hey, we think we ought to run down there and put a deposit on it. He said, no, sir. He said, I'll pray about it. If God wants me to have that bus, that man can't give it away. Now, just think that through. He said, God wants me to have that bus. That man can't even give it away. Now, we don't believe that, do we? I mean, man alive. No, man alive. If I don't get that bus, I better get down there. First come, first serve. But who's running this universe? Now, you see, the matter of faith is a practical thing. It's an acid test. But who's running this universe? Who's running our lives? Who's on the throne? Is our time really in God's hands? It was. God brought us into life at a particular person, a particular period in history. Some would like to be born back in the six-gun days. And you man, I'll settle my problems with my six-gun. Some would like to, ladies would like to be born back in the Victorian days when they had the hoops and skirts and old beautiful the big hats and the beautiful flowing, the long dresses. Said, boy, I'd like to live back then. Well, God didn't let you be born then. God didn't allow you to be born six gun days because he knew you couldn't shoot. And so he preserved your life and let you be born today. And he said, well, if I had my way, I'd be born such and such. No, you didn't have your way, and thank God you didn't have your way because it'd be wrong for you. Now, my times are in thy hands. Is God running the universe? Well, is he running my life? When Job was thrown into frustration, and he had a lot of questions. God didn't answer his questions. God stopped the conversation and said, who is he to darken his counsel without knowledge? And God began to ask Job one question after another about creation. Where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? He talked about the Pleiades and Orion. He talked about the constellations. He talked about the snow. He talked about the frost. He talked about the fish in the sea and the whale and the fowls. And he described all that. And when he got through, he had not answered Job's question. But he showed Job a universe that he was running. And Job got the message, if God's able to run the universe, he's able to run my life. Now, that's where we have problems. Now, we don't mind God running our lives when it's sunshine all the time. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. God really knows what he's doing. When we're healthy and wealthy and wise. Amen. Bless God. My, God really knows how to run my life. But wait a minute. When it starts raining, there comes a financial reverse, and the health fails, and one thing after other goes in reverse. Hey, wait a minute. God, give me my life back. I need to manage my life. No, David said, my times are in thy hands. That's good times. That's bad times. That's the times of joy. That's the time of sorrow. He clothes us, but he also feeds us. Now, sometimes he does not feed us T-bone steak. I read in the Psalm this passage of Scripture, and I've been there, and I've eaten this diet. Thou feddest them with the bread of tears, and givest them tears to drink in great measure. There are times when our times are in God's hands, and God from his hand, he feeds us, but he feeds us with the bread of tears. Why? That's what we need. That's what we need. We weep and we cry, and yet our times are in God's hand, and God knows what he's doing, and he feeds us with the bread of tears. And we cry, and we sob, and we go to bed at night, and we wake up in the morning, and we wet our pillows with our tears. God's feeding us. Our times are in God's hand. If you read if you'd read the entire Psalm, the 31st Psalm, you'd realize that David was a man whose heart was crushed and broken in that Psalm, and yet he received all from the hand of God. Turn to the book of Job. Now, this is very good. This is good preaching, but this is where faith comes to the service. And there are people who blaspheme God. I mean, they don't blaspheme God when the sun shines. They don't blaspheme God when they got a good job and when they have a lot of income. But all of a sudden they say, hey, God, now if I'm going to serve you, it'll have to be all sunshine, it'll have to be all roses. And God does not allow that. And they ditch their so-called faith. Did you know faith believes God, whether it can trace him or not? And the matter of our faith in God will allow that which tests our faith. And sometimes our faith is tested severely. What would you think if you were a prosperous man, and Job was? Now, he was a rich man. He was a family man. He was a good man. And one day, everything in the world, his life went to pieces. He lost 10 children at one stroke. I mean, all his children were killed same day. How would you like that? He lost his livestock. And later on, he lost his wealth. His wife said, now, you can get out of this, curse God and die. And in the second chapter and verse 10, here is an amazing statement concerning Job and his faith. And I read, but he said unto her, thou speakest as one of the foolish women speaketh. What, shall we receive good at the hand of God, and shall we not receive evil? In all this did not Job sin with his lips. What was he saying? He's simply saying that all things come from God. You mean he could see the hand of God in the loss of his family? He did. You mean he could see the hand of God in the loss of his health? He did. In the middle of all that, he said, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. And it's when we are able to turn loose of life and say, Lord, give what's best, then we're really living and walking by faith. That's faith. And faith does not alter the circumstances, but faith makes us sure of God. Do you know why Jonah did not, and we doubt the goodness and the mercy of God, do you know why Jonah didn't? There's several reasons he didn't want to go down to Nineveh and preach. Several reasons. I mean, he didn't want God to forgive him. He wanted God to kill him. I mean, they were prophesied enemies of Israel. And he went down there and preached, and they repented, and Jonah got mad. He said, I knew that. I knew good and well. If I came down here and preached and they repented, I knew you'd forgive them. I knew you'd do it. I knew you'd do it. Read the third chapter of Jonah. It's just like you. I knew you'd do that. And Jonah did not want to be forgiven. Jonah did not want them to repent. And Jonah did not want the mercies of God. He wanted God to judge him. And he said, I knew you, I knew you, I knew you. Wouldn't it be wonderful if we knew God like that and we believe God was a God of mercy? He delights in mercy. He does not delight to judge. And judgment is a strange work. Now, my times are in thy hands. What about yours? Where are you today? You say, I don't know whether I'm coming or going. Well, just remember, God does, and my times are in thy hands. You having financial problems today, financial reverses, just remember now, God holds a stock market in his hands, and the stock market has nothing to do with the hands of God. You just go through life, and wherever you are, and whatever circumstance you find yourself in, my times are in thy hands. Now, that's the reason in Romans chapter 8, this great verse, and we know that all things work together for them to that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. Can you think of how tremendous that statement is? Only a God of the Bible could take that statement and make it a reality. What? All things work together for good to them that love God. Well, his hands, what? They're holy hands. They can't do wrong. They're loving hands. They're very tender. They're nail-pierced hands. They understand. They're omnipotent hands. They control the universe. They're hands of mercy. They're hands of wisdom. They're hands of power. They're hands of skill. My times are in thy hands. And if our times are in thy hands, and God manages, and God says, now, all things work together for good to them that love God. Can you, right where you sit and right where you are in life tonight, fighting with life and getting upset with life and rebelling against life and forcing life and driving through life and crowding your way and shoving around and opening doors and forcing here and there, can you just stop shoving and pushing and let God open doors and let God promote you and let God put you where he wants you? And if he withholds something from you, let him withhold it and trust him. And I see people shove to get here and push to get here and pull to get here and there to get there. You don't have to do that as a Christian. You don't have to do that as a Christian. Promotion cometh from the Lord, the psalmist said. And what God, I've said this, I mean it with all of my soul. I don't believe years ago when God called me to preach. And folks tried to get me to take a certain route. If you take this route, you'll have a place to preach. Now, if I have to go a particular route to have a place to preach, then I don't need to preach. I just don't need to preach. But if God's called me to preach, there's nobody that can keep me out of the place where God wants me. That's just that simple. And seriously, I have never preached in a pulpit where I've been afraid to preach. I mean, God called me. God will meet my needs. God will open doors. God will close doors. I've never tried to push myself to preach here. I've never written letters of recommendation. You'd like to hear me preach. You know, hear him. Oh, my, you'll be thrilled to hear him preach. I've never written anything like that at all. And yet, doors open, and I'm simply saying, you don't have to promote and push and shove yourself in life wherever God wants you. If you just stand still, he'll put you there. And if he doesn't put you there, he doesn't want you there. That's just that simple. Oh, that'll solve a lot of friction and jealousy. And that, if you just understand it. You just understand it. If I just was there. And we climb, and we climb, and we climb, and we never get there. When we get there, we got a dose of the ulcers. I never had a dose of the ulcers, but I mean got a case of the ulcers. It's good to let God put you where he wants you. And when you get there, you can cast yourself back on him and say, Lord, I didn't ask to come here. And since I didn't ask to come here, you'll sustain me here. You'll fight my battles. You'll guide me here. You'll lead me. You'll protect me. You'll do all that's necessary in my heart and life. My times are in thy hands. Last night, I wish you could have heard the testimony of Dr. David Gibbs. And I played the tape for you folks several years ago about the case in Ohio, Levi Wisner. But he revealed something about Levi Wisner last night that I'd heard portions of. But Levi Wisner was the one that was put in jail in a test case in Ohio about his Christian school. They were to take his children away from him. He suffered severely and suffered sorely, suffered unjustly. And the case went all the way to the Supreme Court of the state of Ohio. and the judge in the Supreme Court in Ohio told the state of Ohio two words, hands off. Leave him alone. Hands off. Oh, before they got to the hands off, my, this man went through blood and fire. And David Gibbs said, I called him on the phone one night, and David was his attorney. Mr. Gibbs was his attorney. And he said, Levi, Brother Wisner, I feel sorry for you. He said, I don't understand. He said, "By look what all that the press is doing to you, and look what the judges are doing to you, and the sheriff, and it ain't all these things." He said, I feel sorry for you. Well, he said, now, well, you've got the wrong idea about this thing. You see, God chose me, and God counted me worthy of a trust of this trial. And according to the scripture, he said, I'm the glory in tribulation, because tribulation has a purpose, and God is in all of this, and I'm just gonna wait and see what God does with me, and he has counted me worthy of having all these trials, and I'm just gonna trust him and see what he does with it. Have you and I ever thought about when troubles and trials come that God's counting us worthy? That what? That out of our trials, he's going to prove his sufficiency and show his wisdom, and people will get saved. Levi Wisner, as a result of that, some 15 folks were saved in official capacity. I wish I could remember the names. The judge got saved and put his kids in that school. I believe the sheriff got saved and put his children in that school. And the man who served the subpoena, and the judge who sentenced him, and he went out down the line and naming the lives that had been touched because Levi Wisner had accepted the trial as from God, that God had selected him and given him the privilege of being, listen, being tested, and he was worthy of that. Now, somebody said, hey, why in the world, what made you the judge, and asked the judge and the sheriff, what in the world did you do? He never was anything but a Christian gentleman. Said when we served him the subpoena, he said, thank you, sir. And whatever the state did to him, here was a man somehow understood that my times are in God's hands. And if in God's hands, God knows what he's doing, and God will sustain, and God will get the glory, and hope folks will be touched. But we're so afraid, boy, when everything goes wrong, that God turns loose and we're adrift at sea. And then yet David said, my times are in thy hands. My times are in thy hands. And I thrilled. At the fact that here's a man, would you turn to the book of Acts, chapter 5. Suppose you, let's make it Tuesday night, deacons, finance committee, and deacons and wives, and staff and wives, we go knocking on doors Tuesday night, and we knock on a door, a man rushes out of the house and grabs one of us, and another rushes back in the house and gets a black snake whip. And I mean just tears our clothes off with a whip. Bless God, they can go to hell. I ain't going visiting no more. Is that right? Somebody snubs us at the door. They're cool. And we just, well, I'm not going visiting. Watch here. In Acts chapter 5, I read in verse 40, and to him they agreed, and when they had called the apostles and beaten them, they commanded that they should not speak in the name of Jesus, and let them go. And they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. Now, it's a shame, I mean, to get a whipping as an adult. Or are we really up in the air about this girl that got a paddling in school and here's this shame and a guy goes down and knocks cold cocks the principal? He gonna fight! Who wants to get a whipping publicly and get a whipping, you know, at the hands of religious authorities? And they say, bless God, you bunch of priests can die and go to hell as far as I'm concerned. No, the scripture says they departed from the presence of the council rejoicing that they were counted worthy. Hey, that God chose us to suffer shame for his name. You go to high school and you try to witness in the public schools and they call you preacher boy, they call you deacon, they call you goody-goody, and what, they try to make you shame. What is it? The Lord counted you worthy to suffer shame for his name's sake. And I repeat again, average Christian goes soul winning, somebody slams the door, somebody says something unkind, somebody cuts down the pastor, cuts down the church, brother, I'm not going back there again. That's not what these folks said. If you'll turn to Acts chapter 9, here's the Apostle Paul, and we have the same truth again. Saul of Tarsus, he's a chosen vessel. Well, what's he a chosen vessel to? Oh, he's to bear my name before kings and priests. In verse 15, the Lord said unto him, go thy way, for he's a chosen vessel unto me, to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. For I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. What'd he do? He handpicked, and he said, Paul is a chosen vessel, and I'll show him how much things he'll suffer. What was he doing? He was counting him worthy to suffer shame for the name of the Lord Jesus. Now, that's just a little different twist than we think about it. We turn on television, we say, man, alive, if you're serving the Lord Jesus Christ, I mean, everybody's going to love you. You'll never rub anybody the wrong way. You'll never have any problems, and you'll never be sick, and you'll never be broke. Isn't that what you get? That's not what the Bible says. Counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. I believe, listen very carefully now, don't misunderstand me, but I kind of believe that the Lord Jesus, that God the Father, sicked the devil on Job. Boy, say that. Wait just a minute. Okay, if you don't believe it, turn to the first chapter of Job. Well, you see, that's cruel. Verse 6. First five verses tells about Job's life. Verse 6, now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord. That refers to the angels. And Satan came also among them. And the Lord said unto Satan, whence comest thou? And Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro in the earth and walking up and down it, and said, I've been down to Lakeland, Florida. And he has. You better believe it. He has. And the Lord said unto Satan, hast thou considered my servant? And I wonder, would he call your name right now? And everything's prosperous and everything's going hunky-dory. And God's son, God's blessings, and everything's shining on your life. And the Lord said to him, said, hey, Satan, you've been walking up and down the earth. I'm going to ask you a question. Have you took a look at my servant, Job? Why'd you single him out? Why'd you single him out? Hast thou considered my servant Job, that there's none like him in the earth, a perfect and an upright man, one that fears God and escheweth evil? Ah, hey, have you looked at Job? He called attention to the devil, called attention of the devil to his servant Job. And then the devil lit into him, and what? Was Job still in God's hand? God opened his hand and said, I'll let you get in the front yard. And he did. And he opened his hand a little further and said, I'll let you take his health, but you can't take his life. He was still in the hand of God. You mean that Job was in the hand of God during that time? Yes, sir. Yes, sir. You mean that that's wisdom? Yes, sir. It did a whole lot for Job. It humbled Job. And where do you get, when you get into trouble, where do you turn? When you have tragedy, where do you turn? You read the book of Job. Where do you read the book of Job? Because God one day accounted one man worthy to be put in a sieve and sustained him and made to prove the devil a liar and prove his grace was sufficient and honored his son, his servant, and gave him back twice what he had. My times are in thy hands. There are folks from different walks of life. I see some folks and they walk out of the service. There's a young lady, don't think she's here tonight, but I see a lady walks out, has physical affliction. Shook hands. I don't know that I saw her this morning, but I shake hands and I could call her name just like that. I'm sure now if she had her way, she would not have been born with the physical affliction that she has. But I'm as positive as I'm standing here tonight that when she gets to heaven, she'll discover that her affliction was a crown. And without her affliction, there's no telling where she'd be, who she'd be, or what she'd be doing. Now, God's either sovereign or he's not sovereign. He either controls all things or he doesn't control all things. He either sits upon the circle of the earth and rules and reigns, or he does not. He rules. He reigns. And we have heartaches and troubles and sorrows and trials, and you wonder, why in the world did it come to me? Well, it came to us because of the fact our times are in God's hands, and God guides, and God meets out, and God supervises all of our lives. And all of our lives have different seasons. There's a season of summer. There's a season of winter. There's a season of spring. There's a season harvest time. And while one life is enjoying spring, some other life is enduring winter. And while one is in winter, it's fall in somebody else's life, or springtime or harvest time in somebody else's life. Now, God, what? My times are in thy hands. My times are in thy hands. Can we trust his hands? You know, folks, who are your friends? And you see, I trust them completely with my life. You know people that that you could go to sleep. You could turn everything over them, not be worried about anything that they'd harm you, that they'd cheat you, that they'd beat you. But the sad thing is, those that we trust like that are limited in their understanding. And we may trust them, but because of a misunderstanding of life and a misunderstanding of what will happen tomorrow and the lack of knowledge of what will happen tomorrow, they make wrong decisions because they love us, but they make a wrong decision because they don't know the future, they don't know all of the circumstances, and they're what? Therefore, we trusted somebody who harmed us, but they didn't willingly harm us. They harmed us because of the fact that they were ignorant of all the facts. Or they may know what to do but not have the power to carry it out. Yet what? God knows all. God has all power. God has all wisdom. And our desire and our heart's cry ought to be the Lord will choose for me. The Lord will choose for me. If he chooses for me, he'll choose what's best for me and right for me. If I choose, I don't know where I'd be tonight. Pathway of life where choices arise and where I have come up and where I felt that God wanted me to do this and yet I had a preference or something else and I struggled with my old heart and nature and yet I yielded to his choice. I have no idea where I'd be tonight if I'd had my way, but I'll assure you that I'd not be in the pulpit preaching the gospel tonight. Now David said, my times are in thy hands. One verse of scripture and I'm through. I preached long this morning and I'll let you out early tonight. Some want to go to this heartburn supper after church tonight. And if you'll turn to John chapter 10, they have bicarbonate of soda and Alka-Seltzer and an old-fashioned slap on the back to help you burp. All right, John 10. My sheep hear my voice, verse 27, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, Neither shall any man, and man's in italics, and just neither shall any. You can put anything in the world you want to in there. Neither shall any pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. The Christian is safe and secure for all eternity. He's kept. Or you say, wait a minute now, preacher, you could get out of his hand. Well, I thought you'd say that. So if you'll turn to the book of Isaiah, chapter 49, if you get out of his hand, you're going to have some surgery. In Isaiah 49, I read in verse 13, you pardon the brevity and the scattered of this tonight, but I trust the Lord spoke to your heart tonight. Verse 13, sing, O heavens, and be joyful, O earth, and break forth into singing, O mountains, for the Lord hath comforted his people and will have mercy upon his afflicted. But Zion has said, the Lord hath forsaken me, and my Lord hath forgotten me. Said, God's forsook me. God's forgot all about me. Can a woman forget her sucking child? That she should not have compassion on the son of her womb? Yes, they can. Yea, they may forget, yet will I not forget thee. Behold, I've graven thee upon the palms of my hands. Thy walls are continually before me. God said we're not only on his hands, but he's graven us on the palms of his hands. And my friend, it'll take surgery to get us out of his hands. There's another passage in Ephesians chapter 5 said we are members of his body, of his bone, of his bone. You see, we're not just in his hands and on his hands. We are his hands. The head's in heaven and the body's here below, and we're his hands and his feet and his eyes. We are his body. No, no. Secure, safe, and secure. Just as safe and secure as you'll be when you get to heaven. You're just that safe tonight. Now, you may not feel that way, but you're just as safe and secure as if you were inside the pearly gates tonight because of the fact that our times are in his hands. What sort of times are you having right now? You say, boy, I'm having the best time of my life. Well, I want to remind you that that came from the Lord. Praise him. You said my times today. What kind of times do I have? Boy, I'm having rough times. Well, I'll have you to know that those rough times have come from the Lord. Trust him. You said, what kind of times I have? My times are, listen, I'm weeping. I have a broken heart. Well, just thank him. He knows what he's doing. He fed them with a bread of tears. You say, well, I'm having a dry time. Well, God's still the author of that. My times are in thy hands. And across this audience tonight, child of God, if you bow your head and say, Lord, I accept your times, and I yield, and I trust, and I will not push, and I will not shove, and I will not kick, and I will not fume, and I will not fret, but I'll be still for my times are in thy hands.